title of our lesson tonight is A Day in the Life of Jesus. Have you ever pondered
what it must have been like to follow Jesus day after day from town to town? Sounds exciting, doesn't it? From one exciting event to another exciting event, at least in the early days. The day we are looking at tonight is recorded in three of the four gospel narratives. It is one of my favorite gospel stories. And you can say, well, Pastor Paul, you said the last time you were doing a gospel story, it was one of your favorites. Well, it probably was. Okay. It is recorded in what is called the Synoptic Gospels. Have you ever heard that term before? The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you look up the word synoptic in the dictionary, it means affording a general view of the whole. And then it says in Webster's dictionary, relating to the first three Gospels of the New Testament. So if you would, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said within herself, I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It's good to have faith. Ladies and gentlemen, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give to us day by day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening, for these who have come out and those that are viewing. For the songs that have been sung, Lord, we appreciate it. And for those who have even brought in tithes and offerings, we thank you, Lord. But Lord, as we read about these two instances, we ask, Lord, that we just may be encouraged. And may our faith be strengthened, Lord. And Lord, we know there are other things right now on people's hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would touch hearts as only you can do. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Characters that are going to be seen tonight. Well, the main character is whom?
Jesus.
Jesus is the main character. And then you have the supporting cast. You have Jairus. A certain ruler. We have Jairus's unnamed daughter who lieth at the point of death. We have an unnamed woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. And then there are the extras. I've asked Donna sometimes when we've been watching a program and there's all these people in the background, and I said, I wonder how much they get paid. You ever ponder that? I mean, how much do they get paid to walk by? And if you're really observant, you'll see some people walk by 3 and 4 times. They'll walk by that way, then they'll walk by that way, and it just always amazes me. And I tell Don, I said, there they go again. Yes. The extras in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, it says, much people gathered unto him. In verse 38 of Mark 5, it says, them that wept and wailed greatly. There were other people that were involved, those that watched, those that could have been blessed. Jesus should always be the main attraction. He should always be the main attraction. Now let me ask you a question. Did Cedar Point ever open up last year? Did it ever open up? Anybody know? Is it going to open up this year? Let me ask you this. Do you have a ride you really like at Cedar Point? Yeah. You know, I remember going, I think the last time I went, and we were on the Gemini. You know, it's the two of them race together. And, of course, there's only one place to be on the Gemini, in the front seat. The front seat so that when you go over that first drop, you can't see the bottom. You just know it's down there somewhere. And down you go, and the next thing you know, you're flying through, and it just, wow, it's exciting. Of course, then I always like the bumper cars. You like the bumper cars, anybody? I like bumping into people on purpose. Yeah, that's fun. But you probably have been on the different rides there, and they have some rides that you wait an hour and a half for, and it's over in 37 seconds. Okay, but boy, those 37 seconds, right? You know, I can't remember the name of the one, but you're going up and up and up and up and up and up, and you have that click, 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 so that you don't fall back. You know, that's what they're doing here, so you don't fall backwards. And then you get up there, and away you go. Now, I've never been on it. My opinion is they really didn't make it for me. They made it for you. Okay. We took our younger son, Brian, one time, and we were on the Blue Streak, and you may remember the Blue Streak. And we went down, and he just rolls right off the seat. And, of course, he hit the bar. And when the ride was over, now, if you know my son Brian, he's not afraid to get in your face. And even at 5 or 6 years old, I don't know if he was that young. I don't know if he could have ridden it at 5 or 6. But he let me know what he thought about us taking him on that ride. But the main attraction... Now, maybe you've been to some of the things in Florida, and you know, you got to see, you know, was it SeaWorld down there when they have the orca that's jumping? Do they still have the orca, or do they have to let him go? Anybody know? But a lot of people like to see it. They like to be up in the front row so they get sprayed, you know, maybe you've been there. And, but Jesus should always be the main attraction. But do you realize that for a lot of churches, Jesus isn't the main attraction? It's entertainment. But it ought to be about Jesus. Jesus, in our readings, performs unique miracles, healing a woman with a chronic menstrual flow and raising a dead 12-year-old girl to life, which further illustrates his power to bring newness and vitality to all. Why is it that some believe that Jesus is Lord while others struggle with this information? So I'm going to write this down. Come on. Why is it that some will believe and others will not? See, that's what I thought. You don't know any more than I do. Yes. Lawrence O. Richards writes, quote, the process of death is at work in us even when we are most healthy, unquote. My dad has had a quaint way of saying that the disease that could take your life can already be in your body. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Maybe you remember Roger Whittaker singing the song, the moment we are born, we begin to die. That sounds like a very negative thought, but it's true, isn't it? Because all of us are going to die. One out of one dies. Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8. What did I say? Luke, chapter 8. Okay. We'll begin reading at verse 41. Now, this is my favorite of the three recounts of the story. And I must admit, I've always enjoyed this one. And it says in verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. So we have this man who's come to Jesus for a reason. He is the ruler of the synagogue, and he falls down at Jesus' feet and he begins to worship him and besought him that he would come into his house. What would you do if your son or your daughter is ill? They have a problem. Well, you'll do almost anything, right? You'll spend the money. You'll do things that you never thought you would do before, but boy, you're willing to do it now. We find in Mark 5:23, it says, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. Through the years, our church has had to have funerals of young people. And I remember about 12-year-old girl, Diana Sitter. And I remember her passing away, and I didn't understand it. You know, why would someone that age die? And some of you have lost siblings, and you know how distressing it can be. But for parents, it's very hard. Someone as well said parents shouldn't have to bury their kids. And Donna's parents had to bury their daughter. My parents had to bury their son. It's a very hard thing. But a certain man has come to see Jesus, verse 42. And he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Now, period. He had one daughter. She was precious to him, right? She was about 12 years of age. Do you remember being 12? That's a good time. Remember that? 12 years old, you're going into junior high school. Well, maybe that's not a good thing. But you know, you take off and it's exciting time though for a kid. And we find here that she lays a dying. But as he went, the Bible said, people thronged him. Now, I cannot imagine what it must have been for Jesus to have this attention all the time. We know that they brought the sick to him. We know that they came after him asking that he would come and heal. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, there's a purpose for his traveling down the road, correct? There's a purpose. And the purpose is to go to the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Would you say he's in a hurry? Would you say he's wanting to move the people along? That maybe he's even trying to push them? Today I stopped at Kroger to get something. And as I was leaving, a woman who had pulled in front of me, I'm not bitter, but she saw me. I mean, here I'm driving, and she stepped on the gas to get in front of me. Oh, I tell you what. And then we got out to the road, and there were two Canadian geese walking across the driveway. They're in no hurry. None whatsoever. The only ones in a hurry is who? Is me. I don't know why I was in a hurry. I guess it was to get home to see Donna. But you know what those Canadian geese did? Because she was trying to pull around them, they started walking across Shaner. Not bright birds, are they? I tell you what, you know, you're trying to move people along. Verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Now, suddenly, in amongst the throng is another story. Jesus is heading one place, and this woman, unnamed, has one, what do I want to say? One goal. One goal. To be healed. What will you do to be healed? So we have a story within a story. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. neither could be healed of any. Now, I know this verse ends with a comma, and we're supposed to go on, and we will. But a story within a story. Can I tell you this? Jesus has time for you. Even though others are calling out to him. 24/7, people are calling out to Jesus. I'm glad we don't have to get in line. I went to the doctor on Tuesday, cardiologist. And in the world we live in, we all have to be 6 foot. Now, I understand that we can now be 3 foot apart. Did you hear that? That they're going to reduce it to 3 foot? What do you think about that? Okay. But we find that here we have the people waiting outside the doctor's office to get in to register. I never thought I'd have to wait outside to get inside to register. And they've taken all the magazines away. I mean, you know, they were only 6 years old. I don't know why they would take them away now. And so you get inside, and man, the seats are not 6 foot apart. They're about 10 foot apart. And you're waiting. And I know that some of those people have serious health issues. I don't want you to think that I'm dying. I mean, I am dying, but I don't want you to think that I'm in grave issues, though I was been told I need to relieve stress from my life. Okay. How do you relieve stress from your life?
Die.
Thank you. But you know, Jesus has time for you. He has time. A woman. An unclean woman. A woman who, if she touched you, would make you equally unclean. A woman not allowed in the synagogue due to her blood issues. Now, I don't know if as she approached, people said, uh-oh, it's her, and began to move apart. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible does say, according to Mark, having an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. Here it says that she had spent all her money looking for health. Luke, the Apostle Paul's personal physician, writes, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Would you say that's sad? Have you ever known somebody that had health issues and you know where it was leading? We used to have a woman that attended, and I won't name her name. And she wouldn't go to the doctor. And finally, her family took her. And the doctors did some tests, and they said, your body is full of cancer. And it wasn't long before she passed on. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. A woman came behind him and touched the border of his garment. What type of a woman? Unclean. But Jesus is waiting for her touch. Jesus wants her to touch him. Can you see her? Jesus loved her. He loved her. Now, I don't know how a God who is pure and perfect can love those of us who are human. And would you say that most of us have sinful issues? Mark 5, 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. touched. Again, in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Do you think that she probably wanted to jump for joy? Yeah. Suddenly, she was no longer anemic. Suddenly, she didn't have this issue that she felt everybody knew that she had. She was healed. She was healed. Let's begin at 45 down through verse 47. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You ever like to hear a good story so you can tell somebody? This is a story that people could tell their friends and family. You know that woman who's not allowed in the synagogue? You know that woman that, you know, Aunt so-and-so always is talking about she's unclean? Well, she isn't anymore. She was healed. I would say that could bring some excitement to a service. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Peter and those with them said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" Man, aren't they being a little sarcastic with the Lord? It doesn't sound like that's something you want to say. But the woman, she came trembling and fell at his feet and declared to him and all that were there why she had been so bold as to dare touch him. It's amazing what you will do to get well. People have spent literally thousands and thousands of dollars on quack, so-called healing potions, because they wanted to get well. In your mind's eye, can you see her standing tall? Maybe for the first time in years, she's standing tall and boldly declaring the deed she had done. Was she sorry? I don't think she was sorry. Number one, she was glad she had come to Jesus. She had heard about him. And she says, "There is someone who can take care of me." And she was excited. You know, we ought to be excited about the fact that we've been healed spiritually. Because all of us, well, we are doomed and damned to hell if we don't know Christ as our Savior. And praise God, he has healed us. Verse 48. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Can I tell you this, that our world is looking for peace? It's looking for peace. It's looking for reasons to be upset about things, but it's still looking for peace. Wow. You may have forgotten why Jesus, though, is on that particular road. I mean, we're excited about this woman. We're excited that she was healed. And we don't know what became of her. All we know is that day she was healed. But Jairus is waiting, probably impatient. And he wants to get Jesus moving toward his home. Can I say this? Jesus knows what's happening. He knew what was happening to his daughter. He knew. And he knew that this man, this ruler of the synagogue, was wanting to move everybody along. He may have even said, "Now it's time to move along, folks." He may have called out to Jesus and said, please, please, come on. But wait, is that not one of his servants coming towards him? Verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. While he yet spake, he's talking to this woman that had an issue of blood 12 years. How old is the girl that is sick? 12. Do you find that interesting? That this one who is 12 is dying, and this woman's been dying literally for 12 years because of the blood issue. And one of Jairus' servants comes with the news that the young maiden has died, asking the question found in Mark 5:35, why troublest thou the master any further? Why are you bothering him? Let him go on and do what he needs to do. Your daughter is gone. Verse 50. But when Jesus heard him, he answered and said, sorry, I'm sorry I didn't get there in time. Doesn't say that, does it? Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Let me ask you a question. Who had stronger faith? The woman with the blood issue or Jairus right now? His daughter's dead. Who can raise the dead? And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, folks, usually we know when somebody dies. Some of you have been with a loved one when they passed away. When my mother passed away, nobody had to tell me she was gone. It was immediate. You could just tell. And they knew. Verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. So I asked you the question earlier, why is it that some people have no problem trusting Jesus and others struggle with it? And they laughed him to scorn. How many people laugh at Jesus, laugh at us? And someday they're going to know they were wrong. They're going to know. And he put them out, all out, excuse me, and they put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. Do you think there was some excitement in that house? There were a couple of houses that there was excitement in that evening, wouldn't you say? That there was one who was wishing she had a telephone so that she could start making phone calls. I'm sure she started writing notes. Maybe she went over to some friends that she knew would tell other friends, and they all were getting excited about this young woman, well, this woman, I don't know how old she was, that has now been healed. And now there's this excitement. All those that had been there wailing and bemoaning the loss are now told she's alive and she's inside eating meat. Didn't you like that Wendy's commercial? Where's the beef? Yes. Eating meat. Fear not. Some of you have lost a loved one who, as they neared death, were not afraid. They weren't afraid. There was a better day a-coming. And there's excitement in that. And for us that are believers, we have that hope and we have that peace of mind. Fear not, believe only. Verse 56. And her parents were astonished. I guess we all would be, right? I mean, we believe it can happen, but when it does happen, whoa. Notice, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Do you find it interesting that Jesus told them not to tell anyone, but we are encouraged to tell everyone? Because have we not been healed? Spiritually healed. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. And though we have heard it on any number of occasions, it's still exciting to know that the Lord loves us enough to take care of us. We are to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. And Lord, we do realize that if one is a believer, when they pass away, they have simply gone to a better place. Thank you for that assurance, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.